James chapter 4. We've been going systematically through this book, and last week we skipped a couple verses, and we jumped ahead. As if you were here, you noted that we went to verse 13 down through 17. It was the new year, and it was a passage that fit very well for the new year, recognizing that we need to recognize our lives are in the hands of the Lord. But we skipped over verses 11 and 12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law, judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver, one is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Those are the verses that we will like to look at this morning. Just to remind you, as we think of what we've done here in James, in the fourth chapter, in the end of the third chapter, we saw that he described a wisdom that is from above, that is from God, and a wisdom that is of man. And we were warned about the wisdom of man and how the wisdom of man is that that is from below is that that brings envying and strife among even the household of faith. But that that is from above is that wisdom that really brings a peaceableness, a gentleness, and produces the fruit of righteousness. When we come to the first verses of chapter 4, he let us know what is going on in our midst when there is fightings and wars among the brethren. He let us know it's not part of the new nature that is in Christ. He let us know that it's part of that wisdom that is from below, and that it comes from our own personal desire of pleasures. It comes from your own human nature. We have a nature that's very selfish. We have a nature that's determined to have its own way. We have a nature needs to be brought under control, and that's why Paul said, I need to keep my body under. I need to bring it into subjection. And he talked about the war that is within, a battle that is going on, a warfare that's within the believer. There's that that's between the old nature and the new nature of one that is in Christ. And so we need to recognize, as James is letting us know, we need to know about that old nature so we understand what's going on within us. He told us we need to know the emptiness that our own personal desires bring to us. How it doesn't satisfy. It's something that doesn't satisfy. It doesn't bring you gain. He says you kill and desire to have, but you don't obtain. It doesn't produce. It's all vain. He says you've not gone to your Heavenly Father and your prayers are unanswered because you're trying to do it for your own lusts. He really got us when he said, how we need to know how our relationship with God is affected. When we're in the midst of that, following our old nature, he called us adulterers and adulteresses because our love is of ourself and not of our God, and how it grieves the Spirit of God. But then in verses 6 through 10, he told us where the victory is. And that was a blessed passage, verses 6 through 10, where, you know, he says he resists the proud, but those that are humble, those that will humble themselves before him, he has that to offer us. He has, and so our victory is not in ourselves, but it's as we recognize our need before the Lord, as we humble ourselves before him, we have his grace, that he graciously gives us. He tells us that that the proud are left wanting, but the humble are his recipients. Submit to God, surrender to him completely. Resist the devil completely, but draw near to the Lord. He says, draw nigh, that is, come up. It's drawing nigh to the Lord, it's falling before him. And then it says, he draws nigh. I made the comment, as long as you're trying to do it your way, he has nothing to give. But when completely submitted to him, the Lord is ready to give. What a blessedness it is that we have in our Lord, that in him there is cleansing. He tells them to lament their sin. You know, you wonder about those verses that say, be afflicted, mourn and weep, and stop laughing and weep. Because he wants us to take our sin seriously. He wants us to recognize, hey, there's sin. And you need to be mourning and weeping over your sin. But as you submit to the Lord will lift you up. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now today, in verses 11 and 12, there's a subject that goes to something else about in our relationship with our brothers in Christ. And I think we'll see that the basis of this is when there's the sin of slandering, that there's this evil speaking, a sin of evil speaking that puts us in a place of judging that where we ought not to be. And so we want to look at the sin here of this evil speaking. And so let's look at this passage when it says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. This evil speaking, it is that which we would speak in a slanderous way, something false about a person with a malicious intent of getting it out and putting it forth. How does this happen? This is done, and James is dealing with it because it's done sometimes in the household of faith. It's done sometimes among the Lord's people. And this is something that ought not to be among brethren. This is something that ought not to be a part of this new nature what the Lord has given to us. But it's that he talked about of that old wisdom, that wisdom from below that he talked about in chapter 3. And it's something, you know, this is something that we can control. You know, one commentator said, the one sin that you can commit anytime you want to is to say things because you're in control of your tongue. You can choose. You choose to speak with your tongue, or you choose not to speak with your tongue. It is something that is there. There's other things that we're capable of, but there's not always the opportunity for it. Seems like with the tongue, it's something that is always there and can always be used for right or used for wrong, you know. One of the things that we looked at as we started the book of James, it's there to show us what the way a true Christian ought to behave, and to test and see are we even genuine in our faith. You can be a Christian and speak maliciously. You can be a Christian and you can slander. But if that's the whole pattern of your life, you better stop and question. Wait a minute. What's going on here? We test our own faith, but our heart is something that we need to look at and examine and and see, is there a dominant attitude? And certainly as believers, you know, I say many times, we are all capable of the worst of sins. Every one of us is capable of the worst of sins. And that's where we have to recognize and guard and look at, and certainly we are each one, I mean, though as a believer, this certainly would not be something that ought to be, or if it is a complete pattern of our lives, we ought to even question, wait, is my faith genuine? But it's easy for us at any given time to say, whoa, what did I just do? What did I just say? And James wants us to deal with that and to guard this. So he says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He's talking about how we deal with each other as brethren. And he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, and here it's talking about a judgment. Now it's interesting, in our adult Sunday school class, we're in 2 Thessalonians and dealing with how we are to judge a brother. Here we have a passage that's telling us, you know, we're not the judge. What is, you know, and I want you, we need to understand, this is not a passage that we're looking at that condemns the righteous judgment that has been committed to saints. You know, there is a righteous judgment that has been committed to the saints of God. One of the passages probably that is most quoted by people that would say we're not to judge anything is Matthew 7:1, when it says, judge not that ye be not judged. And that is true. What is it saying in Matthew chapter 7? It says, well, with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged. And with what measure you might, it's going to be measured unto you. You take care of the sin, the mote that is in your own eye, before you deal with the splinter that's in somebody else's. He's saying, be careful when you judge. Be careful when you judge, because you're going to be judged on the same basis that you judge another, and you better deal with the sin in your own life before you go trying to help somebody else. But it's not saying that we are never to judge. How many times have you heard that said by somebody? Judge not that you be not judged. You don't say it. Well, take it in its context and understand what it's saying. In fact. As we look at, you know, we are commanded, when we come to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 to 8, there's legal matters that we are commanded as believers that we're supposed to judge. And I think because of the prevalence of the common perception among some believers, it's important for us to look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he talks about Christians that are going to law against other Christians. And he says, why are you doing that? He says, you need to, verse 2, the saints are going to judge the world. And if the world should be judged, are you unworthy to judge in the smallest matters? He says, when there's things between brethren, bring it to the brethren and let them make judgment of those things. And he says, don't you know? In fact, it's interesting. In the third verse, he says, know ye not that we're going to judge angels? How much more are we going to judge the things of this life? I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure how that's going to be carried out, but he's saying, as Christians, there is a place to judge, and in legal matters, this is something that we are to do instead of going before the world and having our dirty laundry put out before the world. we're to deal with those things within the assembly of God, so that things are rightly cared for. And then, you know, you go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 is a chapter that where we're commanded to deal with and to judge in matters where there's an offense. When you come to the, there's a very classic passage beginning in verse 15 that all of us need to continually have before our minds, and that is, it says, if thy brother trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hears thee, you've gained a brother, but if not, you take with thee one or two more, that everything can be established. And you know, you might find out in that you're the one that's wrong, but it's that it can be cared for among brethren. And then if they don't hear that, then it's something that finally has to be brought when there is a sin that is there, an offense that is dealt with, and one refuses to deal with it, then it's a matter that would go before the assembly. But this takes judgment. It takes listening and caring for and making a judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're commanded to deal with and to judge in matters of sin that are taking place within the assembly. There in 1 Corinthians 5, there was immorality that was taking place in the church, and they weren't dealing with it. They were letting it go. And Paul said, you're puffed up, you're proud. It's like they're saying, well, we love our brethren so much, we'll just let these things go. He says, no, you can't let those things go. You've got to deal with it. You've got to make... In fact, Paul said, when he knew what the situation was, he says, I've judged already. This thing is wrong. You've got to deal with it. They were commanded there in 1 Corinthians to deal with and judge sin matters. In John chapter 7, he says, judge righteous judgment. There's a place, yes, Christians are given a place that there needs to be a judgment. And certainly the verse that we see quoted so much, it is true that we better be careful about judging because we need to make sure that our own heart is right. We need to be careful that our own sin is not blinding us, that we can't help the other. And we're going to be judged in the same way that we're judging others. So be very careful. But it's something that is given to the believer. But now when we come back to James, what is the real essence of this evil speaking? He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. What's he saying there? But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver. The essence of this evil speaking is evil speaking that brings another brother down. What is the responsibility you have to your brother in Christ? Back in Matthew 18, previous to where we looked at just a minute ago, it tells us how we're to treat a brother, especially if he's given reason to be, if we're given reason to be offended. We're not to go after him. We're not to speak evil of him. We're not to slander him and slander his character and go around and say, hey, do you know what that guy did? And boy, I know what was in his heart. Boy, that he's got a wicked heart, and he did this. You know, it's so easy for us to tear down the character of another individual. It's so easy for us, when we have been offended, to go about and speak against somebody, to speak against their motives, to speak against their character. it's like we seek to bring him to shame. Instead of, and as we talked about this in the adult Sunday school class this morning in the passage in Thessalonians, instead of a desire to restore the brother, the process that the Lord has given us is to communicate truth. Yes, we're to expose true error, but we're to seek to bring ones to repentance, to build up the brother and build up the whole body of Christ. But to speak evil of them, to bring him down in slander, is really to forget who he is. What does this passage say? He that speaketh evil of his brother. This one that is a part of the family of God. You bring him down, you're also bringing yourself down. You know what it, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. It's just kind of like in a, marriage when you, when a husband and wife that are one, and one speaks and tears down the one, he's really tearing down himself. And the same thing happens in the body of Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we tear down and slander and evil speaking, speak of one in such a way, it's hurting you and it's hurting the whole body of Christ. Another thing that he says here, and understanding that he is a brother, and that is he is one of God's children. He is one of God's children. We're warned, you know, the Lord warns us about offending his little ones. That passage in Matthew 18 in the first part of that chapter, when it talks about how we're to come before the Lord as little children, he's really talking about his own. And when he says, if you offend one of those little ones which believe in me, it were better that a millstone were hanged around your neck. I mean, and you'd be drowned in the sea. The Lord wants us to know that in the family of God, we're talking about God's children, one that belongs to the Lord. It's interesting, in the 10th verse of Matthew 18. Listen to this. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. As I said, this isn't just speaking about little babies. This is speaking about God's children. We belong to him. And he's saying, you know, you're going to be accountable to the Father for what you say about his children. So you better be careful what you're saying. And you better be careful that you're not tearing them down, that you're not evil speaking of them. If you were to go someplace and you hear somebody speaking evil of your children, accusing them of that which was not true, accusing them in some way that was degrading their character. Maybe they're saying, I saw this guy's child, I saw him out there taking a stone and scratching somebody's paint on their car. And you know quite well that your child wasn't even there, that it was at home where you were, but they're slandering them. They're speaking evil of them. They're speaking of that which they don't really know. Maybe they're assuming that it took place. They're talking about your child. They're talking about something that you're going to hold them accountable for what they say, aren't you? You're going to say, wait a minute, that's my child, and I know that that's not true because they were not there at that place at that time. They were with me. You know, it's not that we don't hold our children accountable for what they do. And again, even as we are capable of all sins, remember, parents, your children are capable of all things too. And so don't say, well, my child would never do that, but we want to know what the truth is. But we need to understand that God's people, among the brethren, that they are His children. Now, that helps us to understand what He's saying when He says in this verse, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. You know, here's one that is slandering. He's evil speaking that which isn't right. And it's like he's saying, wait a minute, what gives you the right to speak such slander against your brother? Don't you have any regard for the law? The law commands how we are to love our brother. Have you no regard for that law? One of the commands of the scripture is that they're not be given a false witness against a neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness. We're to honor the integrity of our brother. We're to recognize that if we are truly to love the brethren, we're not going to speak that is false about them. We live in a society, we live in a world that tears down the other to build up ourselves. It happens corporately all the time, where one speaks evil of one in order so that they can get the position. They don't care whether it's really true or not, they only care about themselves. That ought not to happen among the Christians, should it? It ought not to happen among brethren in the church. We say, how are they speaking evil? How are you judging the law? You're saying that really doesn't apply. How did the Lord sum up all of the commands, all of the Ten Commandments? How did He sum them up? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and might. And the second part He said is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How do we show real love one for another? Well, we certainly don't bear false witness against them. We certainly don't speak evil against them. Because if we do, He's saying, you're judging the law, and you're saying, well, that really doesn't apply to me. I just won't do that. Romans 13:8 says, love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the whole law. Thus, to set aside this love for our brother is to slander him and his character is to judge and basically say, I'm above the law. It's to say, I'm above the law. It's to declare that the law has no authority over you, that you can do to your brother anything you so desire. You can speak as you please. You can tear him to shreds. And it's your right to do so. That's the way the world lives. That's the way the world lives. And he says, brethren, don't do that. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. And if you, those that are speaking evil of his brother, he is, and judgeth his brother, is speaking evil of the law that God has given. And that, and then he judges the law. He's judging the law. You see, he's taking his own authority. James, in many ways in this book, he's talked about the great damage the tongue can do, hasn't he? We've seen that in the beginning of the book. We saw it in the previous chapter. We see it here. He's dealing with it. Boy, they must have had a real problem with the tongue back then. They must have had a real problem with the tongue. And for some reason, the Lord wanted that preserved for us, didn't he? Because he knew that we had the same tongue that other people do, and that needs to be brought under control. And so we speak every man truth with his neighbor, the scripture says. To speak the truth. You see, this, as I said, this is not against judging what God has given us to judge and how God has given it, but it's speaking against that speaking forth evil, not speaking forth truth. And what else it says here in this passage is, he says, if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You've set yourself up over the law. You've set yourself up over what the Lord has given. And he says, there is only one lawgiver. There is only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. What's he saying? It's to usurp God's authority. When we do that, we're usurping God's authority. What do you really think about God? Is he the lawgiver? Or are you the lawgiver? You know, James really, really in this passage, he brings it right down to the very essence of what it is when we speak evil, when we think that we can take and maliciously go against a brother. He said, you know, you're going against the law that God has given to you. You're going against that very law that God has given you of how you're to love your brother. You're taking the authority upon yourself. You're judging the law, and you're becoming judge. And in doing that, you're saying, "I'll give the law," and you're usurping the very authority of God. Do you make the laws? Is that your place? Who decided a long time ago that he would make the laws? Remember the words of Satan? He says, I will be like God. I will be like the Most High. I will put myself up there and I will do this. He put himself above God. I mean, we can see that in Satan, right? We can see that in him and say, wow, he was really evil. And yet James is saying, when you really analyze what you're doing, when you go out and you're speaking evil against your brother, you are there's a maliciousness there. There is that is going against the law. It's that is going against God. It's to him we're going to stand accountable, isn't it? It's before our Lord that we will stand accountable. He's the one. He's the one that is able to save, and he's the one that is able to destroy. And so he asked the question, who art thou that judgest another? We have elevated ourselves. We have elevated ourselves. And it really comes down, what do you really think about yourself? It's like James is saying, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? That really brings us back. And this statement should bring us humbly back to our own senses as we read this passage. It should bring us back to our own senses and help us to put ourselves back under the authority of God. Back under the authority of his word, of His law. Back to remembrance of who is the brother of Christ? Who is this brother in Christ? He belongs to God. This is one that is in God's family, realizing that he is the child of God. And so just as we think back through this passage of Scripture, it should be something that should cause us to recognize, boy, when I speak about the Lord's people, I better be careful. I better be careful that I'm speaking the truth. How many times have you heard something about somebody and you passed it on, and then you found out, whoa, that really wasn't quite true. It wasn't quite the way I had communicated that. In fact, you might find out that wasn't really true at all. One of the things as I was looking at this passage and trying to determine, you know, how to present this that it's really understood, I thought about, you know, the things that where I showed you in the Scriptures where we're to judge, they were actions that were specifically spoken of. You know, there's things that people are doing, and there are things that their actions that were to be judged, and they could be judged based upon the Word of God, and they could be shown, was this right or wrong? And if you've done wrong, then it needs to be confessed, and there's always that love of the brethren that they can be restored. Look, you've done wrong, you've gone against God's Word, and this needs to be cared for. And the desire is not to put them down, not to destroy them, not to slander them. The desire is, look, is this really what's going on? Then okay, then this is what's got to be done about it. You got to turn from that. But what do we judge many times? We look beyond the action and we say, I know what's in that person's heart. I know where that's coming from. I know the evil that's coming from that person's heart. And we begin to judge their motives. We don't know their motives. We begin to apply things where they ought not to be applied. And I think that's probably an area that where we find ourselves sometimes speaking evil of and thinking evil when we don't have the basis for that. Man looks on the outward appearance. Who looks on the heart? God is the one that looks on the heart. There's actions and things that we are commanded and we are given that we need as brethren to judge. And those things, those actions are judged, but the attitude and from where it came in the heart, who is the one that's the discerner of and knows the heart? It is the Lord. It is the Lord our God. And so even in that matter, even when the actions are not right and need to be dealt with, let us not judge the heart. Let us not judge the motive. Let us not assume that something is because of something we've seen. Have you seen that happen a lot of times? I've seen that happen many times, where there is a transfer from an action to a whole mischaracterization of one of God's children, when that really wasn't true at all. And so this is a passage of Scripture that reminds us, oh, be careful. Well, all of a sudden that song came to my mind. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. You know, oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Shall we pray? How we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we've come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and Lord, we enjoy a great fellowship together. Lord, you've designed there to be a good fellowship among your people. You've designed, Lord, that we would encourage one another. You've designed that we would rebuke one another. When there is sin, there is that that's got to be dealt with. Lord, you've designed that we would encourage, and even in the rebuke, Lord, that we would it would be for the restoration, to bring ones to repentance, and that there be a continued fellowship. Lord, help us not to tear one another down. Lord, help us not to destroy the wonderful fellowship that we have. Lord, help us to remember that we are your children. We're accountable to you, and you're the lawgiver. Lord, let us not take upon ourselves that which we ought not. Oh, Lord, you know each situation here today. And Lord, it might not even be the situations of which we have spoken, but there's that, Lord, that we know that you have desired to deal with your people with. And so, Lord, we commit this word, your word, to the hearts of men today. And Lord, that from the smallest child that understands to the eldest of us, Lord, may we submit to you. May we stop any evil speaking. May we speak truth with our neighbor. And Lord, may we love one another with a fervent love, thanking you, Lord, for the family of God that you have given. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.